Okay, we're going to go ahead and call the November 8th, 2022 Town of Commissioners meeting to order. 6 p.m. Present in Town Hall is Commissioner Capano, Fields, Wood, and Fockler. We're going to start with the Pledge of Allegiance. And Ms. Kathy, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States
of America,
one republic,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much, Ms. Kathy.
This is online now.
Okay, and we have Commissioner Elmer. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
How are you? Good. Commissioner Elmer on Zoom. So first item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes. We have two of them to approve, October 11th and also October 25th. We'll start with the approval of the October 11th minutes first. Break the chair, Mr. Leitner.
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes for October the 11th.
I'll second that.
We have a motion to approve by Commissioner Fields, second by Commissioner Capano. All in favor, say aye.
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 Let's see, somebody. I'm just going to say I wouldn't either. Okay, very good. Curtis, you weren't yet. You were there on Zoom that night. Very good. Okay, so those the minutes passed. Next item is the October 25th, 2022 minutes.
I motion to approve the October 25th meeting minutes. It has to be Lou Curtis to second
it. Yeah, I'll second it. Sorry, it was on mute.
Sorry, Lou beat it.
We have a motion to approve. By Commissioner Capano and second by Commissioner Woods. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Abstain. So President Fockler and Commissioner Fields abstain. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the accounts payable.
I keep losing you guys. I can't hear you. I can see you, but I can't hear you.
We weren't speaking. We weren't saying anything, but.
Oh, okay. It keeps getting real quiet, like it's nothing's going on.
We're thinking.
We're reviewing the.
All right.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I hear you now. I hear you. You guys were moving your hands and everything. I thought somebody was talking. I was like, I can't hear nothing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'd like to make a motion that we accept the accounts payable in the amount of $40,706.92.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Curtis can take it.
We have a motion to approve by Treasurer Fields, a second by Commissioner Elmer. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
The accounts payable is approved. Next item on the agenda is the Miller Environmental October report. I don't believe anybody's here from Miller, correct? Jeff, you want to run us through that?
Okay. Looks like the total monthly water withdrawal for 2022 was 2,626,000 gallons compared to last year at 2,723,000 gallons. The average daily water withdrawal was 84,710 for this year, and last year was 87,839 gallons. The minimum daily water withdrawal for this year was 60,000 gallons, and in 2021 it was 39,000 gallons. The maximum daily water withdrawal was 111,000 gallons this year, and last year was 123,000 gallons. And it looks like there was zero for total positive coliform samples were zero. Let's see, going on the other page here. It looks like the routine operation and maintenance were all completed. Non-routine operation and maintenance, looks like 175 meters were read. Operator accompanied A.C. Schultz when they completed an inspection of well number one. The well passed inspection with reference to specifications. Well number one was exercised. That's just a brief. There's more there, but I'm really lost.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
Where is the treatment plant located?
Behind your house.
What, by the water tower, yes.
Behind your house.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yeah, okay.
So, Brian, where are any questions on the water report?
By Miller? Where are we right now with Schultes and the... Mm-hmm. Give us a quick Schultes update.
They discovered, A.C. Schultes, well one appears to be functioning just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Two things that they're going to explore further. So all we have to pay for is a flow test, basically. It was $1,800 to determine that well one is just fine. It's pumping at a rate that it was designed for.
Mm-hmm.
It was good news.
Yep.
The two things that we're looking into is, for some reason, the motor and the pump are undersized.
Hmm.
And we don't know why that would have happened, especially if they were originally designed to alternate well one and well two, right? So we're looking into that, you know, what cost would be associated with upsizing, pumping the motor. And I think a circuit breaker too. The second thing is, and I've asked the town engineer this, the water supply lines for well one and well two, it's almost like a loop. Well one's down there on Cecil Street and it feeds up towards, I guess, Frederick, and then goes up towards the plant. And then well two comes from the athletic complex up to Frederick Street, and they both go supply the tower together. We don't know why, if the pump and motor is okay for well one, why is it not producing as much as well two? So we don't know. There may be a leak, we're thinking, potentially, in the supply line for well one. So we want to install a flow meter, it's called, to test the level at well one and the level up of the tower to see if we can figure out if they're different. So those are the two things that we're exploring further.
I mean, is that why well one never kicks on?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Either because it's undersized, mm-hmm. or, you know, with the pump and motor, if it's underutilized basically on purpose, which is kind of a mystery to us why that is the case, or there's a leak in the supply.
And so that should be easily determinable, but certainly determinable by with that flow meter test.
And my feeling is just that there's something going on with the pumping and motor being undersized. Because like we know that right now at the tower, it's not set to alternate well one and well two. Mm-hmm. So I think we purposely replaced the pump and motor at well one and stopped alternating them. So we're going to have to, I think, replace the pump and motor for well one and redo the circuit breaker up at the tower. Make sure that they'll alternate again. The control panel wants to say, so ultimately, to get to where we need to go, I think that's my feeling at the moment.
And then, follow up question on that is in regards to what we're talking about water is the generator
mm-hmm.
solution that we've been talking about.
Yeah, AECOM is updating the cost estimates for the Biden generators. Backup generators for wells one, two, and I think we'll need one up at the tower. We're exploring, I've reached out to Verizon because they already have a generator right there. We might be able to tie into that
for this.
That's an option for the tower just to run the chemical feed pumps and the lights inside of the treatment plant. It's just an option
mm-hmm.
to explore. We have an electrician working on giving us cost estimates to provide generators at all three wells locations.
And the pump station too?
Mm-hmm. And the sewage pump stations, yes.
Okay.
The Avalon pump station is a bigger one,
mm-hmm.
more expensive. We'll just see where that comes in at. I think if we might be able to get something from the county used, generated possibly for Avalon, or remember, we're getting two cost estimates. One is from an electrician directly who did the installation. One is from AECOM, who is going to give us an estimate to do construction plans for someone to do the installation. So we know that's going to be more expensive.
So maybe towards the beginning of December, we might have something to review for them.
Everybody, yeah.
So
did they? Mm-hmm. I mean, it said that they, well, one was able to be run correctly, and yet we're still only looking at it being run at 1.9 hours.
Well, because it doesn't have the pump or the motor or the.
It's not kicking on.
Correct amperage. Yeah, it's not kicking on because we're holding it back.
Oh, okay. So you are physically holding it back.
Not me.
The way it's configured.
The way it's configured, the pump and the motor and the electric.
So that's what's stopping it?
Yes.
From kicking on?
Yes. It's not the well.
But I'm saying, do we know that for sure? That it's the pump and motor. I mean, you guys, they can't override that to make sure that this is able to.
No, it would be replacement of the pump and motor.
Oh.
You're talking about like a manual override. Right. Can't we turn off that pump and turn this pump on for like a day?
Just see what happens. Just to make sure that it's going to regenerate and. No.
Yeah.
Just because there's only one pump and motor for that well. I guess I hear what you're saying. I don't think there's a way to connect it to another.
You can't, right? Okay. I was just wondering.
And remember, we're also trying to rule out that it's also not weak enough because of the
redundancy.
Right. As long as we have that, the goal is redundancy, right?
Yeah.
So if one fails, we got the backup. All right. Anything else? Go ahead.
I'll give you another update with remember that engineer, talking with McCoy. Who's reviewing Artesian's well number 5 proposal? We had a good meeting with MDE last week. MDE was very candid with us and said, hey, this is exactly how we look at neighboring community systems. And they were speaking the same language. I was just kind of a spectator. But as far as data needed from each other, they were open to our engineer giving them data that they discovered. When they're looking for interference, potential interference between their proposed well and our existing wells, and vice versa. That line of communication is open between the two of them. I think MDE probably has some data that will go into the engineer's models. Just make them better analysis.
Any idea when they will have that an analysis or if they need, is our guy still coming up with his report, I suppose, correct? Okay. Any idea when that'll be done?
I'd say maybe by the next week.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We can circulate that ahead of time. That'd be great.
Okay.
All right. Moving on. Next item on the agenda is the sheriff's report. And I don't believe Sergeant Kalinske is here, but Commissioner Wood, if you could run through the highlights.
Yeah. Everybody can pretty much read themselves. I'm not going to read to the class.
Sorry.
Yeah, it is. There's really not a lot. We were doing so well and so quiet in town until everybody knows about the thing that happened, the incident that just occurred and kind of shook everybody to its core for a while.
Yeah.
But things like that will happen. And I did get calls that night. And I know it's not what people wanted to hear from me, but I can't give that information out. But sometimes that's all we can do is just say, I'm not able to discuss it at this time. And kind of go from there.
What was the date of that? Do you remember?
I'm sorry.
What was the date that occurred, that incident?
That was, I don't have my... It's on my computer.
Everybody's check your text messages. Everybody's got them.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what you're allowed to say and what you're not, or what's in the report. But I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. So, to the extent that you're able to say anything,
it was the first.
It was
the first.
Yeah. We can say what was in the paper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All it was there was a gentleman found, and there was a complaint came into the sheriff's office in reference to a gentleman who had appeared to be passed out in his vehicle.
At that time, what was found appeared to be a bomb.
Nice.
And of course, they take all precautions then and make everybody leave the area. So until the bomb tech can clear the area, nobody's coming in or out. So everything was done to try to maintain everybody's safety that evening.
I know that the, and this is what I wanted to ask Kalinske if he was here. I know the article said that a reverse 911 went out, but it didn't go out for the town.
The whole town.
And it should have went out.
Well, we needed to have something here, and that was my complaint. It needed to come to us.
Well, that's kind of what, and let's take the opportunity right now to go ahead and have this conversation about
almost when emergencies like that
happen.
Yes, right? Anything.
I think there should be some kind of information that's put out from the town, like on this particular night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it should have been either, I don't know, Facebook, or we've talked about text messages in the past.
Yes.
We've talked about the phone call aspect that we could do, where we could say, hey, there's an ongoing situation which has occurred at such and such an area. We EMS or law enforcement is in charge and taking control of it, but we would like to respectfully ask everybody to stay at their homes so that not to interfere and let them conduct their what they need to do. And it would just kind of let everybody know. And from us, from our perspective, it's really
because we had people that were trying to get loved ones home. And I was like, just
block them, right?
Yeah. And, I was trying to come up with ways and means to get their loved ones home. And I was reaching out and doing what I could do. And finally, they did get their loved one home. But I mean, I was doing, what I could possibly reach out and do.
So what's everybody think? A text, a phone call, or
I
an
think
email?
It should at least come to a phone call.
I was talking to Brian. Because the zoning meeting was right after that, right? The next day? Zoning meeting 2 days after. And I think we need to do a similar to what the school has, the Connect Ed, which is not what it's called, but because there are a good number, it's a reverse call. So because of the fact that there is a good number of residents that do not have social media, so we need...
I would put it out.
Facebook, so it would talk about there's a water leak on the street. There is the street's going to be closed, or what just happened this past time.
It was on social media that the streets were closed.
Not from the town though.
But it was on social media. It was blasted.
The people that were calling me don't have social media.
That's what I'm saying. I said I'm not for putting it on social media.
And that's why we need to look into getting the one that can be text and or phone called.
Let's say both. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Text and a phone call that just goes boom.
Yep.
Yes.
I mean, I have that for the kids Team Snap or whatever. Yep. I say cat practice is canceled, and it immediately shoots out a phone call and a text message to everybody. And why can't we have that here?
Yeah, I think they had looked into doing it before.
We have, and there's other options out there. What I wanted to start with is what the county does. I know member emergency services has code red.
Yes.
And I don't know if that's something we could piggyback on.
I don't see why we couldn't. I would just call up there and ask.
Yeah, I have. I emailed and they're working on getting an answer back.
One thing is, I don't understand why it was such a secret. You know, it's a small town. I know you don't want to get people panicking, but it's a small town and the people would like to know, hey, is there somebody loose that's going to kill my family? You know, there was nothing. And to be honest to you, me and one of the employees that worked for the town, we walked down just to kind of get an idea what was going on. We were nowhere close. And I've never been so mistreated in my life by a police officer. I got back for all the police officers. I'm friends with a lot of them. And, you know, I got nothing bad to say about police officers, but the way we were treated down there, I mean, we're residents. We were just kind of wondering what was going on. And I was told, mind your own business and get up the street. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not how you talk to the people of the town, you know, and it just wasn't, it was kind of embarrassing. It kind of, that's not how you talk to the people of the Charles County.
And that's why this, I think this communication could be really helpful just to let people know. It may not go into all the detail that everybody wants.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to. It just at least let people know there's something going on. Please stay home. But, well, we didn't get a chance to ask the police officer, and he told us none of our business kept the street. He could have said, you know, get home to your loved ones. This is an emergency. We can't talk about it. But we got treated like we were just, to be honest to you, trash. And I didn't appreciate, and I'm not trying to act better than nobody. I didn't even tell them who I was because I don't want their special treatment. But, you know, I think we need something out to let people know what's going on. It just wasn't right. I called Lou just to kind of get an idea, and she can only tell me so much too, if she even knew anything. But, you know, it's sad that we don't even know what's going on in this town. We need to communicate.
I did know what was going on, and I did get
I know. You can only tell.
And I did get back and had a way for you to get your loved one home, but you said.
Yeah, nope. Yep, and I appreciate that. That's why I'm saying, not you. I'm just saying, in general, we should all know the information, especially, you know, not just because we're commissioners, but we should know something.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and suggest that, you know, I don't know how often the Cecil County Sheriff's Office deals with this kind of incident either. You know, I don't know how prepared they were themselves, but I just think the careful balance, you know, letting people, our residents, know if their streets clean. Right. And
there's a hazard too, the danger.
That they know.
Yeah.
Not to be scared of fugitives on the loose.
Yeah. Now, if there would have been something like that, because we've dealt with that a lot of times.
That would have come out.
Right. That would have been out immediately to remain in your homes. You would have actually heard a loudspeaker, a bullhorn, their PA systems going off. You would have heard to remain in your home, that there is a subject in the area. Remain in your home. And that would have been continuously over, you would have gotten tired of hearing it because it just played over and over and over again when the cars. And then they'll bring the big rig in, which is a big bus, and you'll see that command center, and then it will continuously loop. And that type of situation, if there's somebody out there, but in this, when you hear bomb, everybody automatically thinks of either 9/11 or the, you know, Boston City. I mean, Boston bombing, that killed a lot of people. And in a small area like this, when you don't know what it is, they just wanted people to stay in, and they didn't want to put it out there yet because they didn't want mass hysteria. I mean, there's only two ways into this town. You don't want to block them.
You don't want people to panic, if you look at it again, if people was aware of what's going on, maybe they weren't trying to come out to see what was going on. You know what I mean? There was a lot of people trying to get down there, see what was going on. And maybe if they knew ahead of time, they would have stayed home. Yeah. But I understand you don't want people to panic. And actually, Lou did a good job. I called her. She told me all she could. And, you know, she tried to find ways to get my wife home because she couldn't get home. The roads were blocked. I mean, she did a good job. I got nothing bad to say about it. I was just saying, in general, they should probably let everybody know some way. Maybe there's a way to tell somebody something.
And that's why I think that from the town's perspective, we should have some kind of information that we put out there.
Yeah.
So let's follow up on that.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's probably, you know, it's kind of funny to think about it ahead of time, but you almost have to,
Well, that's just like when they had the Alice training. What was it last year?
Well, they had it just at the
and nobody knew. But that's because Katie gave us the pull on early. But last year, nobody knew, and I kept getting calls, and it was like, Lou, do you know? I said, yes, the Alice training, and then it was like, no, there's I said, it's training. And then I get a call again, and I'm like, hi, is this about the school? Yeah, do you know? Yes, because people were flipping out. And all we should have been able to do prior to that was put it out, and it would have saved a whole mess of people getting very upset. You know, and this year, thankfully, Katie said, hey, guess what? And you know what made me angry about that was nobody here was asked to be involved in that. And guess what? People are going to be calling here if something like that happens. And we should be told and be a part of that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Am I allowed to say anything?
Yeah, at that.
Okay.
So check with, you know, you're following up with, I know, with county, but also look into through a couple private, through our providers to, so we have some options and can make the best decision.
Yeah, I was going to bring it up at the end, but now, since we got to talk about it here, that's good.
Anything else on?
No, nothing great.
Good.
I just think I had reached out to Celtic Hills regarding their hours.
Oh, yeah.
Ask them three things, right? Police commissioner set your schedule, which I think is happening.
Yeah.
Give us your patrol staff on a monthly basis, which is not
happening. We're not getting it.
Right.
And give us, write in your activity log.
Yeah.
Right.
And you're here. And when that didn't happen, you know, we got the invoice for 60 hours, but
right,
20 hours.
Yeah.
We said, you got any other ideas that we can,
other than the logbook?
Hold you a little bit more accountable. I mean, not do anything.
Right.
I want to make sure that we still get any good contractor relationship agreement.
We can show some kind of proof. Other than if we call up there, they'll show us a CC card.
We even thought if deputies, we get it, if deputies don't want to come into town hall, they could put something through the mail slot.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Just as an option.
Just something else. If they're that worried about coming in, throw a piece of paper through there saying, this is what I did. Mm-hmm. Here's my duty log for the night.
That would work, I would think.
On the ones that don't want to come in.
You know, like I said, I mean, with any contractor agreement, I think there's a certain level of trust, right? But there's also a certain level of accountability, and I think it's got to be fair on both sides.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've had this conversation when I first came in. I don't know when you were here. I mean, they weren't coming in, but then we started it back up, and then. But I really wouldn't mind if they didn't have to come in,
right? And they just put something through there,
because I know how many times did the alarm get set up this past year,
right? Yes,
you know, those kinds of things, you know.
But I mean, I could tell them, look, we're going to do away with that, but we want a log sheet turned in through the mail slot. I mean, we got to have checks and balances somewhere.
And the patrol stats.
That's what I mean. We're not getting them.
We want them monthly. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I think they could be produced monthly.
Yes.
As far as I know.
That should be easier.
Yes.
Right? So they've been getting them like quarterly.
Yeah.
Right.
When we finally get
it. Jack and Renee, you guys agree?
Yeah.
We should get what we're asking for.
Yeah, absolutely.
You guys agree with making them do the daily logs?
I already said before that then they should not be paid if we can't agree to see what's going on. And that's where I stood on that.
Okay. Well, then we're all in an agreement.
And I guess the next invoice, if we don't get those two things, like, we'll hold it.
Yes, sir. I'm good. Okay.
It would be no different than any other vendor. And,
right. I mean,
who's going to notify them that that's what we're going to do?
I'll email them.
You email them and I'll reach out again.
Okay.
Okay.
Next time.
I'm sorry. We did cut the hours for winter. Okay.
Next item on the agenda is the appointment of the Board of Appeals, because we had
maintenance report.
Curtis?
Are we on maintenance? All right, maintenance report. Here we go for October 2022. Sure. The guys cut trees at the fireman's field, hauled brush to the landfill, cut two dead trees at Veteran Park, winterized Veteran Building, or the Avalon. I don't know what I was thinking. Avalon building, winterized Veterans Park bathroom, put back cans at the park to replace the trash tech totes, cut out ceiling at the post office for access for the architect, trim the vegetation along town roads, right of ways at Calvert and Louisa Lane, review of Riverview and Market Street, Calvert and Frederick Street. Performed gallon test, leak check, multiple residents. Where am I? There, 60 stormwater depths can be measured. Five need to be hogged, swapped out, broke, trash cans. The placed up. They actually put the put the logo on it. We put some down at the fire station for the Halloween parade. Put plaques on the rocks for the cemetery markers along Cecil and Caroline Street, picked up waste and bulk trash.
And just for what was missed, Curtis, you were cutting out a little bit there, but we missed the two new barricades were painted with the town logo.
Yeah, I said that.
Yep, I know you did. And the final grass for the season, but it didn't come over on the record on the
They built two new barricades and put the logo for the town on there, and then we put some. Which one? What else didn't you get? The trash pickup.
That's about it.
You got it.
I think that's it.
Yeah, because I'm barely hearing you guys. You're breaking up. I think because I'm out in my shop and it's a metal barn, so not the best.
No problem.
I'd like to make a little comment on the maintenance, if I could. You know, for years, you guys know I pushed about mowing some of our own grass, right? And I think in the long run, it started to work out in our favor because now that the grass season is over, we still have that maintenance guy here to work with us now.
Mm-hmm.
So we have him to plow snow. We have him to do other things that we need to be done around here. So whereas with the contractor, once he got his money in November, he was gone for the rest of the year. Yeah. Didn't see him again until the end of March. Mm-hmm. So just something I wanted to bring up. So, thank you. That's it.
I tell you, Jeff, while we're talking about maintenance, why don't you bring up what you were going to talk about?
Yeah, okay. I talked to Bobby, the maintenance supervisor, today about this, and I already mentioned this to Carl and I mentioned it to Brian. On December the 8th, they're going to have a test for the applicator's license for weed control, for pesticide spraying. And what happens is you need to go up and you have to pre-register, and you have to go to the extension office. And you get to pick up the required study materials, and it costs $15 for the books. And I guess they give you the books, you read them, and then December the 8th, you take the test. And if just one guy takes the test and passes the test, other people can spray under his applicator license. So say Brian passes the test, Bobby, Eric, and the new guy, they can all spray. And it's legal. Okay. That's the way it was with the state. And I'm just saying, we had an issue a few years ago where there might have been some illegal spraying going on here. I'm not going to go into details about it. You all aware of what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I think this is for $15. This is a no-brainer. I don't know if Ryan wants to take it or not. That's up to him. I mean, but Bobby was more than willing to take it. He was more than willing to take it. Can you talk to him tomorrow about it? And make sure, I gave you a copy of this, so. I think this is something, this is only a month away. So this is November the 8th. The test is December the 8th. Get up there, get this stuff, start studying for it,
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's something that would be in favor of the town for $15. I don't see how you could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, and.
For whichever way, Bobby don't want to do it. See if he
doesn't. Bobby said he did want to do it, though.
Right.
So,
I would also think that our town administrator should have it, too.
Yes, wouldn't be.
Yes.
Ha. You can pass that test. Okay,
and Brian.
That's basically all.
It probably is. It's not a bad thing to have.
No, it's not.
I'm not going up there.
Trust me. Years ago, I passed it, but you have to keep it
renewing
it. Right, exactly. Yeah. It's good for so many years, I think.
It's a good thing, though.
Well, thank you.
And maybe since we're still on maintenance, give us an update on Cerny with the project.
So he's going to stop in tonight. His update.
This is the foot-log erosion project.
It will be done tomorrow. Is what he said. There was a little bit of a task to get all those bags down there. Because they came on a traffic trailer.
Yep.
They parked up on Cecil Street.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had skid loaders running back.
Is that what that truck was?
Yep.
There was like
flats.
There were many accidents starting out because of the way that truck was parked.
Pallets of bags had to get run back and forth on top. I don't know what the total count of bags is, 600 bags.
Wow.
It looks great.
Back and forth, but some of the complaints we've gotten from the track and dirt up Baltimore Street because of all those trips. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was pressure right there at the work site. And, but I did get a call about it and talked to Cerny, the contractor, and said, hey, you're going to clean this up, right? And he said, yeah, please. If you get any calls from residents, tell them stop washing it off. That's making it worse. If we get it wet, we'll sweep it when it's done. And
super trouble.
Rain hasn't been in the forecast, I guess, for the whole project. Got kind of lucky.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're not lucky.
Yeah, now it's coming.
A storm.
Big storm coming.
Big storm's coming Saturday, Friday night, Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But he'll have it cleaned up by
So he said he last when he was in there. I'm saying he's got to put down the whether he's putting is he putting down curly or what's he putting down?
Struggle. What he has to do. What I didn't realize originally was I thought we were going to plant into the bags, but we're not putting any holes in them, other than the pieces with flanges that hold them together, that lock them together. Mm-hmm. So the plants, the dirt over top of all the bags, and the plants' roots are actually going to end up growing in the dirt on top of the bags and in between the bags.
Wow. So it holds it.
And so he's planting what he said he was going to do. Specs, this even goes back to our design engineer. It's a mix of plugs, grass plugs that are about long by that line, and seed. And he's going to put straw down over time. And I said, how much grass do you think is going to grow this time of year? He said, it should be pretty good.
All right. Dude,
global warming.
Where did we get the plantings, you know?
He got them from Crow's Nursery, who he knows in Harvard.
I haven't been down there.
Down there tonight. Okay.
That's what I'm curious about, Mike. Like, which...
What's that?
Like, which grasses did you get?
Yeah. Okay. Can you see it?
I'm sorry.
Okay. So, anything else on maintenance, guys?
Nope.
All right. Next item on the agenda is under new business is Board of Appeals appointment. As a result of our Ursula going to planning and zoning, Ms. Boudart. We have two candidates, Nick Capano and also Chris Reno. Do we have a...
I have to abstain again.
Motion for nomination of a candidate.
I made Nick to take on the task.
You're nominating Mr. Capano?
Yep, Mr. Capano.
I'll second that.
We have a second. We have Commissioner Elmer. Again, nomination for Mr. Capano, seconded by Commissioner Fields. All in favor of appointing Mr. Capano, say aye.
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 Mr. Capano passes. Congratulations, Nick. Wherever you are.
He'll get me.
Okay, great. That's an important job.
Yeah.
Okay, next item on the agenda is the Christmas party.
Oh, we just wanted to know what you wanted to do this year.
It was fabulous last year.
Yeah, I mean, are you going to stay with that?
Yes. Yes. Over there, but I heard them bake.
Okay.
It was wonderful.
Is everybody good with that? I mean, it's...
I heard it was really nice. I wasn't there, but I heard it was really nice.
Really comfortable and pleasant. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to have it at the Wellwood?
Let's go over there. I'll do the meet.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Anything else? That's good on that, right?
Just trying to get everybody off.
Oh, yeah.
Curtis,
you good?
I'm good. Yep.
Renee?
It's fine.
Okay.
I'll be fine. I'll double check what our budget is.
Yeah.
I don't recall off the top of my head.
All right.
Be similar.
Very good. Okay.
And
go ahead, Lou.
I'm just looking at this because this one's in there. I guess this is under Brian. So.
Well, go ahead. What it?
No, I'm go sure ahead. Brian it's doesn't mind. Go ahead, Brian.
Are we ready for it?
Yes.
Mr. Administrator, go ahead.
Updates. So the events committee has been meeting faithfully as needed, sometimes weekly, sometimes every 2 weeks. Just wanted the board to see what kind of events are coming up. I don't know if I got them in order. Maybe I did.
Yeah, I think so. I think
you did.
Got the donut for Santa signed up for Sunday, November 20th at 1 o'clock.
The tree lighting.
Yep, and then we've got the tree lighting lined up for Friday, December 2nd.
And then Reese.
And then, yes, on here I have winter lights, seasonal nights. I think we want to try to participate in that program again. And we do want to do this year the Reese Across America. We kind of, it just fell off the radar last year. We weren't prepared, but I think we got people in place to.
We're going to do the luncheon this year.
Oh, good.
So we're going to try to find volunteers to make soup.
See, I thought we did it last year.
No, we didn't do the
luncheon. We didn't do the luncheon. Right,
but we are going to do the luncheon this year.
We assisted.
Putting the wreath down.
Right.
Yeah, and the floodlights. Mm-hmm. But we're going to do the luncheon this year.
Okay.
That first day, though.
When's Perth Bingo?
Before
after Valentine's? Yeah. Before, right? Before. Yeah. I would think.
Mm-hmm.
When you went to, I mean.
Oh, well, yeah. It got moved because Singerly's Perth Bingo is in January.
Well.
And we do not want to compete against them.
Even our school.
And they're also having theirs in January, and we don't want to compete against our school.
They're having a person, or Charleston?
Well, they're having their bingo, and it's a big event.
Yeah, okay. Okay, well, then maybe then after.
Yeah.
One thing we wanted to ask the fire companies if they'd like to keep doing bingo type events.
Right.
They
what
should.
They said is they wanted to see how this went,
and they would get one from there.
Right? Is that what they said?
Okay.
And like I had said, even when I helped start the senior group, the town started it, but you need to help it a little bit, and then as they raise, then and it will still be involved, but the money will start turning the other way. So.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we don't mind. I just needed some guidance there on, like, do you want us to do it the cheapest route on the bingo, you know, the bingo equipment, because we can borrow it even, you know. And they doesn't cost them anything. Exactly, the little bingo balls. And do it cheap. Or we can help try to get them something at a very low cost. I mean, there's one lady who goes around and does it for like $500 or something.
Of the firewalls have a top-notch bingo thing?
Yeah, most of all of them do.
Can you know, a fire company calls their fire company and be like, hey, can't they share?
Well, they run them through their TVs now and everything, and on these screens and all that.
TV now.
Yeah, oh yeah, believe me, it's big time.
High-tech.
High-tech.
We'll talk to them.
That thing's high-tech.
Yeah.
Maybe there is. It's a high-tech TV.
And it's like, they got all high-tech TVs. And the ball shows up in the... All the monitors and everything. Oh, they're crazy.
All right. I ain't been to bingo in a long time.
But yeah. Sorry, Brian.
No. But I mean, that's a good thing to look into.
Yeah.
Halloween parade was fabulous, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. When talking
about things to improve for next year.
When you calculate the mass,
people.
The one guy did it for me. He's some big math wizard. Yeah. I was like,
what number did he come
up with? He came up with 426.
Wow.
Because of Conestoga Street, the length and the width.
Yeah.
And all, and he goes, 426. I was like, how did you come up with that? And he goes, oh, it's very math. And I'm like,
that's a swamp of people.
When I stopped in my van at the top of the hill, they weren't even. Yeah. Clear the firehouse.
Yeah, good weather though. That helped them.
Yeah, it did. And it was like, oh my gosh, the weather couldn't have been any better.
Fantastic.
It was awesome. And the kids had a good time.
Great time.
So, and they liked walking to Ghostbusters.
And the
Yeah, the kids all the way at the very end didn't get to hear it. The kids are posted. It was like, and the only thing we were talking about between Katie and us was possibly doing it on a Friday night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's when it always was before, right?
Right, yeah, yeah, it was. But doing it late
Friday afternoon.
Not like right after school,
mm-hmm,
so that parents could also get to it also, but doing it a little
five
bit
or
later.
Six
yeah.
o'clock.
Yeah. And mm-hmm, that way everybody could be there and we would also be able to get our band.
Mm-hmm.
And Saturdays and Sundays, we can't have the band,
mm-hmm,
which stinks.
Yeah.
And I miss them, guys.
Yeah.
But we could get our band then.
Are there lights down at Beth Rooms?
Are there, I'm sorry?
Are there lights at Beth Rooms?
Well, we put lights up the one year and it was pretty well lit down there.
A couple.
And we could, yeah, and we can ask Mike for his lights.
Yes.
Also.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that was just an idea of Katie and our later, all kind of thought. And then Brian and everybody had a pretty good idea too about the lights for Christmas. You want to bring that up?
Yeah, I guess next is the dinner lights, Cecil Knight agreement.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 6-page form this year.
Yeah.
I think the big takeaway is what we'll get in terms of a grant from Maryland's Upper Shore Regional Council,
mm-hmm,
is $1,250 if we can come up with some winter themed events and decorations, mm-hmm, in the months of January and February. So we've been brainstorming ways to do that. And maybe we've been kind of tossing it back and forth of using floodlights,
mm-hmm,
or white light. The town hall, maybe just the white lights to bring the trim things. And I think we still decorate the Christmas tree,
mm-hmm,
like we normally do.
The colors are the same kind of colors, like it's Frozen. Remember, everybody knows that movie, Frozen, and the song Let It Go. And but if you remember, though, we have something that no other town has. And the opening to Frozen is the ice house.
Yep.
They're chopping the ice and they're bringing it in.
Yep.
We happen to have an ice house.
Yeah.
Nobody else has that. And it's like, we are the only town that has an ice house, an original ice house. Yep. So I said we could do something kind of cool with that.
And, like a Frozen theme.
Yes, exactly. And
Jeff, you want to be Olaf?
I have the I have the.
So we could have a big Olaf and you know the Sven and everything down there, but up light the ice house with the different colors.
That's a good idea.
And it's white.
And it's white, so it's would take all those colors.
It would take whatever you want.
Right. And
that's a good idea.
Good idea. Because we have the deer and the little trees, mm-hmm, and stuff that we can, mm-hmm, all put back out there again,
mm-hmm,
to make the little winter scene and all. But and it's like and have the ice house open for tours.
Okay.
And have the song and stuff playing and everything.
I think we should get a big Olaf blow up.
Well, guess what though? We also have the dance center.
Yeah.
The one ballet crew there, they dressed up as Elsa and Anna and all the kids.
Oh,
we could ask them to come down.
My granddaughter's taking dance there now.
Yeah.
Yep, she just started and not 2 weeks ago.
They'll come down, or else we could just find folks in our town that might. We have one with a beautiful voice.
Mm-hmm.
She lives right across the street from Avalon in the new house there behind Patsy.
Yeah.
She has a gorgeous voice, an operatic voice, and she can sing Let It Go.
Oh, cool.
So, and that would be something also that we could, she could sing for us. But that would be one pretty cool thing to do.
I was also going to say that the Amish auction that they up in Oxford,
right,
that, where I got the big reason.
Mm-hmm.
For the ice house, and here a couple years ago.
Yeah.
But you know, they have their Christmas auctions where they do Christmas trees and the wreaths, and they also do garland, all that kind of stuff. But I think it'd be great for the town to go up there with, you know, $500 or so.
Yeah, and get this stuff.
Just go buy some top notch.
Yes.
Whatever, you know.
Yeah. It's a good idea.
Well, it looks like the 18th of November, and the looks like also the, which is a Friday, and also Friday the 2nd of December.
All right, so
December, isn't that our tree lighting?
Yeah, we don't want to do it. So you'd want to be there at the 18th.
The 18th.
Well, the 19th is the Christmas.
What's that? Donuts or Santa.
The 18th?
That's the 20th. That's the 20th.
That's the 20th.
That's a Sunday.
But anyway, just that's just.
But that would be great to go up on the 18th.
They said.
We might be able to get some stuff for Dennis for Santa.
It says two more Christmas sales are scheduled this year. The second sale will be November 18th and the third on December 2nd.
Now we would want to go on the 18th.
So, yeah, but you can get those massive wreaths for $25.
Yes.
Yep.
Because, well, see, what we were saying was we would ask Larry to go because we know Larry goes.
Larry goes up there.
You're right. So that would be great if we could just go up ourselves.
Yeah. But we should do that. What else on? So.
Oh, we did go down and we took a, which I gave to everybody at the thing, a list of our stuff that we had to sell. And we're selling it on the internet. Those creepy little.
Yeah, there's some garland down there.
Yeah.
And lights.
And some of those lights
them off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Kathy was asking about the gazebo. It's on here.
It's well, we're coming up on that now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know if you guys had missed it or not. I thought we missed it together.
Next, right around here. Something.
Yeah.
I don't know if the church want to do something. You toss the idea of decorating the trees right there. You know,
in the corner.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
Do the fire station.
You see them coming down the road. Mm-hmm.
The gazebo, I think, looked nice. Yeah.
The gazebo, we were going to do the same as we did last year. With the, I thought it looked really sharp.
It was fun.
Yeah. White.
I feel like to get some new Christmas lights for the poles or something. Mm-hmm. Some wreaths or something.
January, we have to.
Right.
We
can't order them before January.
No. Exactly. We want the good price, right?
SP January.
Yeah, we can't.
We'll have to suffer this year. And then
do you still want to do the trees in the corner?
I think
those are going to look great, though.
I think so, too.
But we're going to have to.
Floodlights, maybe.
Or the floodlights. Because if we do the trees, in the light, like hers does, you know, where they wrap them and actually do all the different. That's an undertaking.
Mm-hmm.
It's a massive undertaking. Mm-hmm. And then we wouldn't be able to use Bobby's bucket.
Yeah.
Right. The one guy that I talked to in Delaware is going to come down this weekend and look and give us an estimate.
Gotcha.
I don't have an estimate yet. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Okay. I tried to get in here, but. And depending on what the storm does, if he comes down this weekend.
Yeah.
So, but I was hoping that his guy that lives here, but he's not a big enough player in the business. So
I did try to get two cost estimates for Tim James, but I was only able to get one. $4,000 to paint the ice house, and then $1,800 to paint the gazebo at Fairgreen. They will power lock both structures, get all the paint chipped off of them, and then paint the few colors that we already have.
Nobody else want to put an estimate in?
I just had time to reach out to two of them, and one didn't respond, and the one did.
How much for the gazebo?
18.
And that's just. Yeah, so spindles. Yeah.
Well, it's the floor and the two walkways that connect
the
lot to the playground. As well as, yeah, the spindles.
Yeah.
And that roof needs some attention.
Yes, it does. That's the one I was telling you about. Needs some.
Hey, Curtis, you know anyone else who'd like to put an estimate in?
Yeah, I'll put one. I can help out with the roof situation.
How about painting?
I mean, I can try and get some more estimates. I have other painters I can reach out to.
Yeah, I don't know too many painters that I would recommend.
This group did 630 Water Street.
Okay. Whatever. I don't want to slow it down. I mean, the window for painting is about closed.
Yeah.
So
it'd be nice to get a deck done.
It would be
before we decorate it.
I'm thinking, you know, they'd be at least 2 weeks out to get the decision, but I don't know for sure.
Well, what do you guys want to do on that?
I don't like that one place.
You know, the ice house.
I know everything's going up, so
I know, but.
Well, do you guys want to get one more estimate, or do we want to vote on this?
I'm with Lou on that.
Yeah, I think it's a lot.
Curtis? Yeah, I think we'll get another one.
Yeah, okay.
All right, let's
work calls, you know?
Let's just table that. But if a price comes in under, I mean, is everybody good with it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get it scheduled up, get it done.
Yeah.
All right. For now, you
go with that. All right, how's this? Whoever comes in is cheaper, not going over the 5,800. Just go ahead and
do it. Yeah. Right, that's what I'm saying. Right.
I motioned to go ahead if we can get it cheaper, 5,800 or less.
Just make sure they're using good paint.
Yeah,
you gotta
check. Seriously, make sure they're not using. I'll second it.
So we have a motion to get another bid and
get this going. Yeah.
And to give it to whoever has the lower bid, other things being equal. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Good.
Aye.
All right. Next item on the agenda is dogs, canines.
I've received complaints about the country's authority for noise.
About the dog. This has been going on for a couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's 2 years ago. I wrote this particular letter. You know, now our noise ordinance, at least if I'm reading it right, it exempts barking dogs. It's like an allowable sound. There's no noise limits for the dogs, but there's other issues here. It's not just the noise, it's the neglect, the animals,
and they're vicious.
Yeah,
they're a danger.
A little bit of a fear factor.
There is a provision in the Maryland Code, which is 10.305 of the environmental article.
Mm-hmm.
And it's specifically nuisances in Cecil County or Allegheny County. And it refers, one of the provisions is, you know, any condition that may endanger health through the spreading of conditions by any means, including stream, surface, drainage, air currents, winged life, domestic animals, or human beings. I'm not sure that, well, maybe that may not apply.
I know that they had the dogs taken away from them before
by
animal control. And it's under my understanding now that these might be different dogs.
Yeah.
They've had the puppies taken away.
Not just
the dogs. Now, when was the last time we've talked to them?
I haven't heard any kind of letter because I wasn't exactly sure what town ordinance I'd be citing.
The town ordinance just really talks about unleashed dogs,
right?
Or dogs at large.
I can speak from experience. It's a quality of life issue, is what it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I'm dealing with the same thing where I live. I walk outside and they bark at me and bark at me and bark at me. Can't enjoy your own property.
I don't understand.
Can't put that on your own deck. Can't do anything.
Why the county has asked her to write to us, because we go by what the county law is.
Right.
Well, I really because comments not for a while, but if at any point I'm allowed to respond to some of these things, enlighten you a little bit.
Well, I know that the odor
is a health issue. Mm-hmm. When you literally can't go outside because either one, the dogs are barking, two, the odor, you can't stand the smell. And three, you're in fear that the dogs are going to jump and attack you. Yep. I mean, that's three strikes right there.
Yep, sure is.
And we have dealt with this before, and we have had the dogs taken.
Puppies.
Yeah, the puppies.
Not the dogs.
What? So the puppies are this. It's not SPCA anymore. It's Cecil County Animal Control.
Animal Control now.
And what have they said? Let's reach out to them.
And ask them again, you know, what are we doing?
Right.
Where do we stand again? Because we had to have them down here before.
And then based upon what, you know, where they are on it, you know, we should probably
then we'll have
send
to follow
them another
that.
Letter. But let's wait until we talk to Animal Control. And then we'll
Because we'll be stuck with that.
But are that there's no information the dogs are getting loose or anything?
They're confined in their yard.
Mm-hmm. That's a plus from what it used to be.
Yeah. I mean I think I'm familiar with these dogs myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's been so much started.
I was gonna say, you're probably pretty close, you might be able to hear them.
Well, if you walk down the road, you will hear them.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I noticed, of course, you put in here another provision about from Charles County.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Charles County. Yeah.
Charles County, and you know, about a potential amendment to the code for us to
Mark and Chair, but the language in Charles County, I don't know how it compares. I haven't looked compared it to Cecil County. Mm-hmm.
You know,
that might be out.
So,
I didn't compare them yet.
No.
All right. Are you comfortable with what we're going to do?
Yeah.
Does anybody else have anything? You want to add anything else? Okay. All right. First responders.
Oh, just the comments reached out to us. Anyone who saw us, I want to attend.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate you.
There's on the back here, Carl. Tell
this
you.
Is the same night speak. As our stormwater meeting.
Yes.
That's right. Nobody can go.
I would say that we should donate.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, we should donate something.
Did you see the second page there? On the meeting packet,
yeah. I got it right here. From the back.
Curtis, do you think we should? I know this night is also the same night as our community workshop for the stormwater. Do you have any feelings about donating money to the first responders dinner?
Yeah, I think we should too.
How much do you think? Did you see the back of the packet or what's up there?
Nope, I haven't seen it. How many is going to be going, you think?
Nobody, I guess.
Well, it's the same night as our stormwater master plan community meeting.
Five of you guys could split it up.
I will be firehouse.
What are you guys? What's your thoughts? What's everybody's thoughts?
No. I want to be at the watershed thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
Somebody wants me to go. I mean, what? Yeah, we can do the 275.
Let's do the 275, and
I'll attend. Who's going to be the second person to go?
Your wife, maybe.
Is that all right with you guys?
Yeah.
Well, if
is that okay, Curtis?
Is that all right with you, Curtis?
Yep, that's fine with me. I'm good with
it. Okay.
Great. Done.
But you will keep me informed on what's going on over there, right?
Nope. Never. I'm kidding.
I was trying to take one for the team here, you know?
I'm kidding. I will tell you.
We were already underrepresented at the season. At the dinner deal, they weren't we, Lou? I barely had her yet when they said her name.
That's right.
And that's what, November the 18th?
16th.
Let me write it down. Okay, and that's in Perryville, right?
Thinker. Yep.
16th. Yeah. Where there's going to be a flyer. It's going to go
out on social media and email blast tomorrow about the community workshop. Is it on your desk?
Right here.
It's the same night. As the first, right now. First responders.
Okay.
Yep.
That's great. I will mark that on my calendar, get my secretary involved in it.
I like that.
It keeps me informed, I'm telling you. I mean, you know.
And Sandy is an awesome secretary.
She is an awesome secretary. I give her credit for that. She's not here. So.
What else you got, Renee?
That's the big one. I did bring in, these guys have been asking me for a whole bunch of stuff. So I went through all my filing cabinets this weekend, cleaning things out. And one of the things that they asked me for was a list of commissioners. This is old. It just needs to be updated because it was in my fifth year, the last time. But it has the list of all the commissioners and the years that they served.
Oh, cool.
So it just needs to be updated, which I just gave. Mary's been asking. I found it. There was another thing in here about the church. This is actually meeting minutes from July 14th, 1987, about the responsibilities of the church. And this was voted on.
Ordinance 87-1, resolution 87-1.
Yep.
Prosper asked a question at the last meeting.
Yeah. Said,
who owns the church? Who owns St. John's United Methodist Church?
Well, actually, it's owned by the Methodist.
By the trustees and church.
But this has about.
I always assumed that we owned the graveyard, but they owned the church. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah, but this is talking about the maintenance of the church.
Oh, okay. I get confused on that sometimes. Was it stated? Oh, 1987. Sorry.
Yeah. And this is for Stan.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Stan. This is from Stan 2000. This is the copy of Chapter 23, Act 1742, about creating the town.
Yeah.
And I know there. I'm sorry, Curtis. I can get you this stuff too.
Yeah, I'm slightly.
I know. This is Holloway Beach. This is the original thing back in the 50s. Charles Hemp, and it's all of us that are down there. And people were talking about like the community beach and all that kind of stuff, but it's all part of it and how we go down there. But it's the whole way up to Baltimore Street, the whole way down. And as you can see, these are.
See some work.
I have a big map. This is the best version. I have a big map. And I'm going up there because someone from Town Hall took my original and I never got it back. So I'm going up to the Avalon building and I'm going to go find it and get it back. So that's what I found so far. I know I made you happy on some of the things. I'm trying to find everything. I always find a big deal like that. I apologize. I just made everybody go down this little bit of history.
Yeah, I like history.
I've seen this.
Huh?
I've seen this. It's pretty neat.
And the last two charter review meetings that happened in 2018.
1747.
Okay. Yes, I save all this stuff. You want a copy of this?
Yes, that's pretty neat. Okay.
That's I'm good, sorry. Right?
That's fun. Good. That's I'm fun good. Stuff.
What's that?
You see what happens when I clean things.
We got you.
Two things. One, went back to the maintenance again. I've said this in the past, and I'm not sure what the situation is right now, but my thing is that we buy our plowing materials, our plow blades and things from Moxley's. And I always thought that we should have an extra plow blade on hand in case one gets ripped or torn during a snowstorm. If we lose a plow blade off one of the trucks at 3 o'clock in the morning in the middle of a big snowstorm, they have no way of getting a new plow blade. So they have to shut that truck down completely. It's happened in the past when I was here, while I worked here years ago. We lost the white truck. We was down to just the red truck. And that guy had to do the whole town, including the, I mean, we've grown a lot since those years. Look at Big Cool Springs as by itself. And I don't know how much it is for an extra plow blade, maybe $100 some. It wouldn't hurt to have, yeah.
I thought we talked about this.
We have, but we never did anything about it.
I'd say maintenance guys, you know.
And, you know, that, Bobby's well aware of this situation, too. I'm sure he is. But I just think it would be in our best interest to have an extra plow blade, at least one per truck.
You should have an extra.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying if it breaks down in the middle of the day, you may have a chance to run over to get one if they're open. But if it happens in the middle of the night, you can't.
I think we need to. Curtis, do you feel that way, too?
You feel that way, Curtis? Have an extra parts for snow plowing?
I should always have that.
Sooner than later.
Mm-hmm. I just think we're lucky over the years that we've only had one breakdown. But
well, let's just get one.
Yeah, at least have one extra blade per truck. We have three trucks. It's three blades. We're not talking about $1 zillion. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a few $100, and we'd have them. Extra bolts. Heads. Extra bolts for, you know.
Extra head. Motor head.
You talk about the hydraulic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, usually you should have an extra hose or two, because usually what happens, they blow hoses before they blow the motors.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I had a problem with the red truck when I was here. It would get locked into the right position, and it wouldn't turn. And the wire kept popping off. You'd have to take it in the shop. Yeah, exactly. So we finally got that straightened out, I think. But that was done on that Western plow. But anyway, Section 175 of the zoning thing, we approved the amendments to the other two sections of that a long time ago, Brian, 2019?
Chapter 99.
Chapter 99, Section 175. 150, but it was never approved, right? The one section was never approved. You know, I'm familiar with, right?
No.
Okay. Okay.
Chapter 175
is the zoning ordinance. It's a zoning ordinance. Yeah. Okay, and what happened was we voted on the other two. Remember they went through, Lou, and they redid the whole thing? Yes. It was Sean Durkin, right? Mm-hmm. Did it? Well, he was one of them.
Well, it was the Planning and Zoning Commission, right? With the help of Dave Dahlstrom, who's a planner with
Right. Mm-hmm. I remember attending the meetings when they were going over everything when it was over here. But we never did, as far as I can, if I'm not mistaken, we never approved Section 175.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, if somebody wanted to put a 6-foot privacy fence in their front yard, you couldn't stop them. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
It's in front of the lawyer to go over all the stuff that we just did.
Okay.
Right.
But I haven't heard it mentioned here in a long time, though.
You emailed that out to us, right? It was emailed to you.
Okay.
And
I brought it up to Brian.
Yeah. It was emailed to you. And it's now to our lawyer to look at what we did.
Okay.
So it should be coming back to us soon.
I just think it's something we need to get approved. We've been sitting on it for a couple of years now.
Yeah. And just to clarify,
I'm not trying to push things, I'm not trying to make anybody mad, but I just think it needs to be done.
That's good.
We put a lot of work in on that.
That's in front of you guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
The town attorney is really, there's only two more things left until it's out of his hands and it'll come back to us. But I made sure to keep the colors separate. So those changes from 2.5 years ago, they're in blue.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The changes that happened this past year, they're in red.
Red, okay.
And then there'll be little notations that I say from Bestie.
Okay.
Notations from the town attorney.
I just think it's something that we needed to get moving on again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's been sitting dormant for a long time. And I just think we're playing with fire here.
You did that.
Other than that, I'm good, guys. I did want to tell you, Carl, that when I missed the last meeting, I went and seen Langhorse Harry Lee. He's still laying where he was all these years ago.
Right?
Yes, sir. I'll bring a picture and show you this. He's in Lexington, Virginia, at the VMI, at the Washington and Lee College. Yeah, he's right there next to the VMI Institute.
Ramsey's down in Washington, right by Camden Hills.
He's in Ramsey. Yep, he is.
Westminster.
Yep, he's originally from Pennsylvania, by the way.
Yeah.
All right, I'm sorry. That means
no, just good, good stuff.
All right, thank you, guys. Thank you.
Lou?
We had at the Halloween parade, we had an altercation with one of our town residents. Well, I'll say I did in front of children and local residents. The gentleman who lives next door to us here decided to go through a barricade and almost strike me with his vehicle in front of Mr. Burchett and Mrs. Burchett.
Wow.
I advised that I would take this to the Board of Commissioners because this is not the first time.
It's just been a couple months.
Yeah. This is something
right out here where when the street gets closed down in front of the fire hall.
He's also hit parked cars.
He's also, yeah. Mm-hmm. I would like to not take it to the extent that I wanted to at the very beginning. I even screamed at this gentleman to stop, at which time he continued on. And to my right to my left were kids because we had it closed off because they were getting set up for the trunk or treat. So I had put the barricades there. Mr. Burchett was like, I just can't believe that just happened. And it's not the first time. It's not the first time I've seen him run the stop signs that he doesn't feel that he has a need to stop for. I wanted to literally leave my post and what I was doing, go get my ticket book. And then I said, nope, I want to go call the sheriff's office and have them come down here and just take care of it. And I said, we're too busy right now and I don't want to spoil a good day for the kids. So I didn't. And then since time passed, I would have had to go to district court, and you know this, and fill out my own statement of probable cause. Mm-hmm. And I said, that will probably just fall on deaf ears anyway. And I don't know if you guys think that we should call him in here to talk about his driving around the town. I mean, we've got to do something because sooner or later, we're going to be picking somebody up or calling an ambulance, or Station 5 is going to be coming out for an accident in this town that he has either caused or been the reason why.
I certainly hear what you're saying. I just don't know if this is the right forum to really have this conversation about this.
I can't do it with.
And then I think that if it's a public safety issue, I mean, yes. then
it's something that we can do in an executive session.
Maybe, I was thinking maybe we could
do that for.
You call, law enforcement if the law has been violated and let the law enforcement side take.
I didn't know what happened.
Yeah. That did occur. And
couldn't law enforcement maybe have a visit to him, Carl?
Okay. The other thing is, we have a problem down on Chesapeake Road, and I know Brian's been told about it, and I don't know if anybody else, you might have heard about it on Planning and Zoning. Donnie McMillan lives down there, and the new house that was built right there on the corner, he's even kind of coming at us now on Facebook and everything also. And I've tried to talk to him. I've tried to explain to him. He doesn't speak well now because he has a trait. It's real hard to talk to him about anything. But the house that's right there, I mean, it is. When he was in the hospital, he came back. He advised me that his fence was torn down and the gentleman's house went up.
Wow.
That house sits approximately maybe 10 yards, if that, maybe 10 feet off of his house.
Ow.
It is definitely graded exactly like this, right into the house, mm-hmm. into Dan. The guy's grade is there, and this is his house.
We have offered, as a zoning board, mm-hmm. The other owner has offered to put a swale there. He will not allow it. But based in here, and this is something that we've talked about on the zoning board, mm-hmm. based on the county regulations to have water go away from the house, mm-hmm. it's also going against our stormwater. Mm-hmm. So we have two codes that are fighting against it, and that's something mm-hmm. that we're going to be addressing. But the new house is in compliance.
Mm. How's it in compliance?
Because it's dealing with...
Guys, this is, again, is kind of a...
Yeah.
This is kind of a not in our...
Okay.
Forum as
all right.
commissioners,
I think okay.
we discussed.
I'm just
been
saying.
Discussed
oh, okay.
I didn't say that.
All right. I'm just saying he's coming at us on Facebook and everything. So just if you guys hear it, then that way you guys know.
It's already done. It's already
yeah, been. I heard about the situation. Yeah. Every time it rains, I guess he's yeah. getting water in his.
Yeah, because he has a house behind him mm-hmm. too or something. Yep. I don't know.
I heard about it.
I just told. Also, we got a picture. I guess the guys were digging a big hole or something. Brian, the other day, were the guys digging down in a big hole or something?
Yeah.
I don't know. Down in a trench or something. I don't know. I just got a thing, and she sent me a picture, and the poor guys were, like, trying to dig it out by themselves.
Who's for the Watershed Master
Plan? Yeah.
We have a survey crew coming. They need to be able to measure mm-hmm. from grade to the bottom of that pipe.
Yes. And they were trying to do it by themselves.
So that catch basin was clogged.
Yes.
So the only way that crew was going to be able to get a measurement was for us to unclog.
Right. Yeah. And that, once again, they didn't.
We have to do that right now, unless we borrow equipment or rent equipment.
And isn't that piece of equipment that we were looking at to buy or something?
Mm-hmm. One time, yep.
What was it called?
It's a ditch witch.
Ditch witch.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, those guys were busting their butts trying to do this by themselves.
Just one.
And it's like, so that's something that...
That piece of equipment will, I'm telling you, it's a very nice piece of equipment. I know it's expensive, but...
But I mean, for those guys to be doing that themselves, that would be rough.
I know.
I'm just saying, we're talking about buying things for maintenance mm-hmm. and all. That's something that we should probably look into.
I agree. Can we get prices on that again, Brian? I know we talked about it. Did we ever get any?
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got two. We got two cost estimates, but that was it.
Okay.
We stopped talking about it because it was a big price.
Right. It was a big price, right?
Yeah.
But also, like, are there alternatives? Can we rent them?
Right. You know,
borrow them maybe from other towns?
Or buy one that's used maybe?
Or used one, yeah. Yeah.
Like with everybody getting this COVID money and all, maybe they're buying new ones and they want to get rid of their old ones.
Yep. That's how we wound up with our Kubota.
Yeah.
It was a trade-in.
Yeah, somebody want to trade something.
But it was really new, though.
Yeah.
And one of the things that came out of that, too, is with this Watershed Master Plan, we feel like we already know we have drainage system blockages.
Yep, yep. Right?
What we don't have is a system to take care of them.
Right.
We really don't. It's been shovels.
Yep.
Yeah, hot and spot. It's all been.
Yep.
We need to maintain the whole entire system.
And that's what it's going to take.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to, these guys aren't going to be able to keep up with that by them.
Not with shovels.
I agree. It was just something that came to me and I couldn't think of the name of the piece of equipment. I apologize. I'm sorry.
But still very much on the radar.
Okay. The other thing is, thank you very much to everybody who came out and helped me at the Halloween parade. It was greatly appreciated. Thank you guys very much for putting things together, you know. So that's it. Everybody had a good time. Yay.
Curtis? Oh, I think he just ran away.
Curtis?
I just saw him blip off.
Yeah.
One last thing, and then we can open it up. With the fact that we know that the post office is going to be leaving in the next year or two, and it's going to go to boxes outside,
I think we need to rethink about the design here of our building and what we're doing, because we're going to have all this open space now in the next couple of years. And it's going to be a couple of years before we can possibly find the funding for it. But it's something that we really need to probably readdress before the survey is complete, so we can let the architect know. Because we have to put the box down here somewhere, so that has to be in the design.
Agreed. Yep.
All right, let's open up the public comment.
Martin Snyder,
and Ms. Rowe. Yeah,
Public in person.
Good. Is Robin's up there? Somebody else. I'm not sure who else is up there. Is that Robin? Are you the phone too?
Robin.
Hello.
I'm squared.
Robin's going first. Or
okay. One second, Robin.
Why don't you let them go first? It's going to take a while.
Go ahead, Robin.
I just had a couple things I wanted to ask. Would it behoove us on both entrances into our community to put a professional sign that says our community participates in Neighborhood Watch to deter people from coming in here? Maybe to do things they shouldn't be doing.
Robin, if you have something you want, if you come up with something you want to present it, I mean, certainly we'll consider it. We can consider locations for it. I mean, I know Lou, you have the Neighborhood Watch down at down at Footlong, or not Footlong, but Long Point.
Yeah, and I know they have one out at Chesapeake Isles also. Mm-hmm. So I was just thinking about that. And the other thing go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was going to say the sign that's out there at Long Point is rather aged at this point in time.
Right.
We'll talk down next.
Yeah.
Or maybe some new ones. Go ahead, Robin.
And the other thing is, are we permitted to know as walkers where the dogs in question might be so we can avoid that area? Only because my one dog has been jumped 9 times.
Oh my gosh.
And I have used my pepper spray several times on charging dogs. So are we allowed to know in a general area where these dogs in question might be without a specific address?
This like one's a street of Frederick and Bladen Street heading toward the athletic fields.
Okay. So, I don't
right at that stretch. All right. It's my understanding.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not.
But
okay.
I don't think these dogs have generally been on the loose.
Mm-mm, no.
Okay.
They're just more of the barking aspects, I think.
Not lately.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Sure. Anything else, Robin?
That's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank you.
Ms. Schneider? Yes.
Hi, my name is Marcy Schneider, and I live on Bladen Street. And I moved here the last week of August from Southern Maryland. So I had no information about Charlestown at all. I came here long ago. I didn't know anything about it. So I came here specifically on the dog issue, but I want to just make a few remarks from other things in the meeting. In Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, they have a very large ice house and it houses a theater. So I'm just commenting on your ideas to make something out of the ice house or use it as a prop because it's really cool. So I was just going to second you on that. Bethlehem's is really, really, really cool. They use it all the time.
Ours is already put back into the ice house.
That's really neat. I wanted to make a remark that clearly the relationship with the police is problematic. But if you've ever worked on a base or in any sort of a large complex of any kind, you know they have formal evacuation plans with formal emergency people and employees are educated, and there's postings of evacuation in the event of an emergency. Of course, you know, at schools, they have the drills, the lockdown drills. So with the knowledge that there is only two ways to get in and out of the town that you mentioned, the police are going to show up with their own idea of how to handle a true emergency. Whether or not they've worked out an appropriate evacuation plan isn't clear, but it seems to me that the relationship, it needs to work towards becoming less problematic, because in the event that it's real, we have to be working hand in hand together, and we have to all know exactly what we should be doing and in what order. Because I'm sure the reason that they kept everyone away and they were a little abrupt during that incident was because they truly and honestly did not know the urgency of the situation and what could unfold, because they could discover a piece of information that changed everything at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that moving forward would make sense to say, okay, in the event something serious did happen, even a weather emergency, do we have a plan? And again, we need to know that if we call somebody over there and say, hey, we need to execute our plan because we have this situation happening right now, they know what we're talking about. They know what our plan is. So I'm just saying that. Okay. Public safety. Does anybody know if the stop or the street light that's up Bladen at my intersection? What's my intersection with Frederick? Is that light on a motion detector? Because it flickers.
Some of them are.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if yours is not.
State, isn't it? Yeah. State highway is that light.
Does the state highway install them where they're motion detectors?
I've never heard of one, but they may be on like a, yeah, you know, like they go off if nothing's moving for a long time, mm-hmm, to save energy maybe.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure about that though.
Marcy, if you can shoot me the numbers that are on
the,
you
know, pole,
the metal pole,
mm-hmm,
the, yeah, little metal numbers on there, I can try and find out what's going on with it.
Thanks a lot.
You can also download the app and punch it in there too. They'll come out.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, say that again.
You can also get the Delmarva app.
You can punch it in. Yeah. Okay. I'll give you the numbers. I don't do all that stuff. I'm using my smartphone deliberately. It's quite a conscious choice. So anyway, that specific spot is, in my opinion, dangerous. The situation that's happening there is more serious than has been alluded to. I'm not going to go into it because we're not in executive session. I'm just going to try to impress upon you that it is considerably beyond what was alluded to during this meeting. Considerably. Among other things, it's a public record, so I'm going to say it because it's a public record, that there is a docketed action in foreclosure that is ongoing. That adds a direness to the situation and an urgency from the point of view of the people that are involved, that, in my opinion, you know, it makes me vulnerable for publicly speaking out. I spoke to others who are being impacted who didn't want to speak out because of their own concerns about the situation and their being publicly involved. Simply use your imagination, okay? It's more than what's right here in front of us. And similarly, I wanted to ask a question that seems unrelated, but it's not. If a person fails to pay their water bill and their water gets turned off and the building is still inhabited by people, does that trigger any public health type of protocol? Or is it simply a matter of the water gets turned off for non-payment and the people continue to live there without sanitation?
This has happened in the past, and the health board said as long as that they can flush the toilet, which they will be able to, there is nothing that we can do.
So even if it's truly, truly a danger, children, pets, there is nothing that can be done.
Probably not from us.
Yeah. I mean, so real quick, there's generally like a 5-minute mm-hmm. limitation on public comment. So, and that's okay. Fine. But I was going to say also is that, you know, you can, you know, there are certain things that, you know, I know you're coming to the town for guidance on a lot of this, but go ahead.
Trying to make you sure. aware of some of the little tidbits that didn't really get held up as mm-hmm. things to think about that are involved in the situation that I'm just making you aware of.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, I'm going to stop here. My understanding is that talking to Cecil County Police, a dog cannot, under the current law, be vicious unless they've already bitten someone. So you have to actually wait until the blood is drawn.
Mm-hmm.
The Charles County ordinance has a reasonable person definition of potentially vicious that is extremely helpful because it would actually be perfect and on point in this situation. It also has a definition of intimidation that would be on point. So the reason that I gave Brian that was because I felt like it was addressing this type of situation really pretty perfectly. Now, what I have here in front of me, I just gave that to you for your thinking about it, the Charles County. This is Cecil County, 2021. I believe it's the most current. This says the district court shall issue a summons if somebody comes in with a sworn complaint. Now, this is the first that I saw this because I just pulled it up a half an hour before this meeting and didn't see it before because I've been dealing with animal control and I haven't been aware of this. So I'm going to talk to district court tomorrow because if I'm allowed to go in there and make a sworn complaint, then that's what I'm going to do.
And that's why I wanted to say that if you feel like you're under threat or in danger, you know, you should contact law enforcement and advise them, and then they can instruct you on what to do.
Law enforcement tells me that there's absolutely nothing that they can or will do unless blood is drawn. And that is what they
have said. That's sad. I'm sorry.
Nothing.
By that time, it's too late for me.
And that is why I suggested to Brian that as a town, when somebody in the future comes to you with this exact scenario, which eventually will happen, you will have something in place that addresses it. Because right now, the policeman told me on the phone, is anyone actively being attacked or has blood been drawn? And I said, no. And he said, well, there is absolutely nothing I can do.
And that's what we do appreciate you coming in and talking about this, because I think, you know, you have shined a light on the fact that our dog statute is somewhat extremely limited, and perhaps we, you know, gives us an opportunity to take a second look at it and maybe modify it to take care of some of those issues.
So, yeah, I'm just letting you know that it would be super helpful if we had something that was more flexible and provided more opportunities for solving the problem.
Okay. Well, thank you.
I really appreciate your time. I'm done.
Thank you very much. Entertain a motion to adjourn. If there's
a second.
One favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Curtis?
Yes.
Curtis.
No.
Yes. Party.